Come on, let's clap it up. Let's clap it up. Good morning, Rock Church. Hey, real quick, I want to welcome everybody that's tuning in online. Thank you for joining us in all of our campuses here in San Diego and Oahu. And of course, can we give it up for our Point Loma family in the house? Come on, if you're excited to be in the house of God today. Hey, if we haven't met, my name is Sammy, and I have the honor of being one of the pastors here at Rock Church, and I'm so honored to be back with you guys. I'm excited. I believe that the Lord has a timely word for us. We're in a series called The Missing Piece, and there's this big missing piece in our lives that I believe today the Lord is going to highlight, and it has the potential to change our lives and to shape, really, the future that we live in. So let's go ahead and open up in prayer and then allow the Holy Spirit to do His thing. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just acknowledge your presence in this room. Lord, we give all glory, honor, and power to you, God, because you deserve it. Lord, I thank you for just every soul that walked into this church today. I pray for, I pray for those who have been feeling alone. Maybe they reached the end of themselves and they showed up today. And I just pray that you meet them where they're at, Lord. I thank you for the transformation that's going to happen today through your presence alone. Not anything that we can do or offer, but it's through your powerful presence, God, that transformation happens, Lord. And so, God, just, yeah, be present with us. We love you. And may joy just fill this room. And everybody said, amen. 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 Come on, can we give it up for Jesus one time? Hey, have you noticed that as we get older, our priorities change? Like the things that we value most in life, they start to shift as we transition into different stages of our lives. I don't know about you, but as I reach 31, I'm 30, I'm going to be 31 in November, which is kind of funny because to some people I'm old and to some people I'm still very young. So we're going to stick with very young today, if that's cool with you. But as I step into my early 30s, I'm starting to evaluate just the evolution of value in my life. When I was a child, I remember that for me, life was all about things. Life was all about possessions, the material things that one can own. It was about having the newest toys, right? My mom and dad are here, so they can acknowledge that. It was about having the newest video game console, the newest clothes. I even remember when I was a child in elementary, every school year, I had to make sure to go to Chic at the Chula Vista Mall to make sure I got my high top Air Force Ones. Because I had to make sure I was stomping in my Air Force Ones. But life was all about things, and now that I'm older, I actually see that in my kids. I have three kids, two little girls, a baby boy on the way, but my youngest right now, Gigi, she's the middle child, so pray for her. For those of you who know Gigi, you know Gigi has no filter. She just says what she feels, what she thinks in the moment, and it's both like nerve-wracking but hilarious at the same time. But I remember one time I took her out to Target with me because I had to run some errands for my wife, and she wanted a toy. So when my girls ask for toys, Daddy gives them toys. But I was trying to teach her something. I was like, hey, let's try to stay within budget today, right? Try to get like a toy that's not too expensive, a small toy, because we don't want to go all out today. And she was complaining a little bit, but she came to terms with it, and she finally got the little toy. And so when we were on our way to check out, the cashier was super friendly, and she was like, hey, would you like to donate to this organization that helps, you know, kids in need? And I was like, absolutely. So I donated it, and Gigi was like, Dad, that's why you don't have money to buy me more toys. So pray for her. It was, again, both embarrassing but hilarious. But when I was a child, I don't know if you can relate, that's what life was all about. It was about things. But as you get older and you transition into probably your adolescent years and your teenage years, life is no longer about things. Life is all about experiences. It's about experiencing being behind the wheel for the first time. Anybody remember that? Just the tension in the car when your parents or your guardian are just like gasping for air. It's about experiencing your first crush, experiencing your first dance. It's about experiencing going to the party that your parents let you go to or didn't let you go to. But when we were young, life was, it was all about experiences. I remember for a summer, I'm born and raised here in San Diego, for a summer when I was a teenager, religiously, me and my friends would always go to Sunset Cliffs. We would go cliff diving, which I heard is super illegal, but I'm covered by the blood now, so don't do that and don't judge me. And after cliff diving, we would go to Hodad's. Like, that was it. And I just remember that experience being like what I lived for, right? I feel like a lot of us today, we're probably still in that stage where we live for our next experience. We want to experience love so we get intimate with people that we're not supposed to be intimate with, but we want to feel loved. We want to experience success so we make rash decisions without thinking and put us in a financial pit. We want to experience just acceptance. So we act out of character around a specific group just so we can feel accepted. But as I'm in my early 30s now, and even in my early 20s, I realized one thing, that life wasn't necessarily about things. Like, the most valuable thing in life, it wasn't possessions, it wasn't material things. The most valuable thing in life, it wasn't even my life experiences. It wasn't the memories I created. I realized that the most valuable thing in life is people. It's people. You see, it wasn't the things that I owned that got me through one of the most difficult moments of my life when my little Gigi was fighting for her life in the NICU. No, it wasn't that. It wasn't my experiences that got me through just a difficult moment when my wife was undergoing life-threatening surgery. It was people. It was my community. And so today, for the next few minutes, I wanna share with you just the heart of community, right? We're in a series called The Missing Piece. And last week, we learned that God is our missing piece, right? If you haven't caught that yet, that's step number one. But today I want to talk to you about a missing piece in your life called community. And community is actually part of our Rock Church DNA. It's part of our mission statement, right? It's know God, grow in what? Community and make a difference. So today I want to touch on this subject that really goes against this ideology that our society has today. I want to talk about the importance of togetherness, the importance of community. And the reality is that individualism, it can seem somewhat heroic. It can seem somewhat attractive. It can seem bold, but I can promise you that this self-reliant mentality is the beginning of a life lived alone. And God didn't create you to be alone. I feel like there might be some people in here that you've been feeling alone for a while now. Maybe there's somebody watching us online or across our campuses that you're alone, you're isolated, and maybe you just started feeling this, like this morning. You have no idea why you feel alone. And so what you do is, your tendency, rather than try to get plugged in, you just isolate yourself more. And so you convince yourself that showing up on Sunday and just being super low key and going back to your regular life of loneliness is the best way to go. So if you're taking notes, I wanna encourage you with the title of my talk today. And hopefully this brings the theme of the message together and you hear the heart of my message. But I want you to write this down. Church is better on Monday. I lost a few of you. Hear me out. Church is better on Tuesday. It's better on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You see, gathering with you guys here today, it's awesome. Don't get me wrong. I love you. You guys look great. But come Wednesday night, when I'm meeting with my group of guys and I'm being vulnerable and they're laying hands on me and they're praying for me and they're prophesying over me and I'm getting healing, that's unmatched. It's unmatched. And so I feel like somebody here today needs to be reminded of the power of community, and that showing up here and leaving and going back to your regular lives of being alone, it's not the way. There's so much life and beauty in community. But the reason why we don't get plugged in and get connected is because if I'm vulnerable, it just means I have to rely on people, and that doesn't make me look good. If I join a community, it means that I just have to be accountable now for everything that I do. And I realized as I was prepping this talk today that the reason why a lot of us, including myself, the reason why we arrive at a place of isolation is because at some point in our journey, we believed a lie that we don't need people. At some point in our journey, we picked up an offense. Anybody ever been offended before? I've been offended too many times. So what happens is, maybe a friend in your friend group said something to you and they offended you, so you choose to never show up for community anymore. Maybe you came to church one day and you didn't like that the worship seemed too much like a rock concert. And rather than check your heart, you blame the worship pastor and the production team for giving God their best. And so you vow to never show up to a place where community could have changed your life. I've heard this one before. Maybe you came to church and you just missed when the Rock Church was just one campus. It's too big for you now. The Rock Church is growing too much. I miss SDSU Rock Church. And so you never come back to a place where community could change your life, which, by the way, I heard a preacher say this once regarding comments that people make about church being too big. Why is it that we never complain about other organizations being too big? Like, you never hear somebody say, Feeding America, they're too big. They got to cut down and feed fewer people. Like, A21, Christine Kane, like, they help victims of human trafficking. They're getting too big. They should cut down and help fewer people, fewer victims. Like, no. But when it comes to the church, it almost feels like there's an attack on the church. There's an attack on the church that we should be small. Shouldn't the church be a place, an organization that we expand and we grow to cultivate a space where people can find healthy community and grow in Christ and be healed and find Jesus? Somebody needs to be reminded about this today. Don't believe the lie. Don't believe the lie that you don't need people. Don't believe the lie. See, the enemy's slick. His trick is really just to isolate us. His trick is to make us feel like nobody's for us. His trick is to make us feel as if we're alone and God isn't listening, but the truth is that God created us to be in community. He created us to live in community with people. God's plan for humanity was always for us to live together. As a matter of fact, in the beginning, the very first thing that God called bad, that he did not like, was when Adam was alone. So he created us in community, and God is also a part of a community, right? It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, who we sing about and who we worship and who I've dedicated my whole life to following, Jesus was a life that lived life with people. Jesus was a man who lived life with people. His ministry was people, right? Jesus preached to people. Jesus healed people. Jesus talked with people. He communed with people. Jesus died for people. Has it ever occurred to you that the community of 12 people that Jesus dedicated 3 years of his life with to, they all jumped ship the moment he got crucified? And I mean, this was Jesus. Like, he knew they were going to do that. But it's almost as if he were telling us, like, hey, people hurt people, but you still got to choose to believe the best in them. You still got to choose to love them, to die for them. I feel like this might be a hard pill to swallow for a lot of people. It was a hard pill to swallow for me. But we need people. It's almost as if we can't experience God truly without people. It's the real reason why we don't commit to community. It's because people are hurtful. I mean, that's the real reason. I mean, they betrayed Jesus, they did Jesus dirty, and that's really the reason why it's so hard for us to commit to a community, right? Because I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I'm talking about myself, but people suck sometimes. You laugh because it's true. People betray, people break their vows, people lie, people gossip, but I want you to write this down. It's people that hurt you, but it's also people that help heal you. There's no other way around it. We need people. And I find it super interesting that, again, the devil knows exactly how to get us. It's super easy for you and I to sin on our own. I know sinning with other people, it makes us feel better. It does. I just said what you were thinking, all right? So don't judge me. But it makes us feel a lot better when we're sitting with people. But the truth is you and I, we can sit alone. I can go home, I can sit by myself. You can go home, you can sit in your room, you can watch things you're not supposed to, you can say things you're not supposed to. But you know what you can't do alone? You can't heal alone. I wanna share with you James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be what? You may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. The devil will get you so used to being alone that when it comes time to heal, you will find it so hard to count on people. You and I, we need people. Look to the person next to you and say, you need people. Family, what if the answer to your prayers lies within the context of community? What if the healing for your soul can only be found in community? Pastor, all I need is Jesus. All I need is God. Like, that's all. It's just me, myself, and God. You ever hear people say that? It's just me, myself, and God. Like, that's the most ungodly statement I've ever heard. Because God doesn't need us. That's the beauty of it. He doesn't need us. He wants us. Yet he chose to use people to proclaim his goodness, to proclaim his glory. So what if the answer to your mental health is found within the context of community? What if the answer to your anxiety, your depression is found within the context of community? I'd like to share with you a passage in the scriptures that for me, it just paints a beautiful picture of what community really is all about. And it's in Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. If you can open up your Bibles, Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. If you didn't bring your Bible, we have it up on the screen. It says this, while the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow, I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur, H-U-R, not H-E-R, climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arm soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. Check this out. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. Come on, we can praise God for that. There's power in community. One of the first things that this passage teaches me about community, and you can write this down, is that a good community walks the difficult road with you. Exodus 17:10 says, so Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, this is the part you need to pay attention to. Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. Doesn't matter how high or how low the mountain is. It doesn't matter how long or short the road is. A good community is just down for you. They're just down to ride it with you. They're there for you. And this is gonna kill our pride and our ego a little bit, but me and you, we desperately need people. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how many things you've accomplished. There's gonna come a time in your life where you're gonna need somebody. Right, think about Moses for a moment. Just think about Moses for a second. Moses was the ultimate survivor of his time. If anybody knew how to survive in the wilderness, it was Moses. He spent years in the wilderness. Moses would climb mountains to speak to God. Like, this dude knew the ins and outs of surviving in the wilderness, yet he still chose to take two people up with him on this climb because he knew that at some point, he was gonna need somebody to lean on. Shout out Bill Withers. It doesn't matter how great you think you are at this whole Christianity thing, there's gonna come a time where you're gonna need somebody to pray for you. It doesn't matter how much Bible you hear, how much Bible you read. It doesn't matter how many podcasts you listen to. At some point in your life, you're going to need somebody to walk the difficult road with you. Second thing that this story teaches us about community is that a good community offers you a place of rest. Exodus 17, verse 12, the first section says, Moses' arms soon became so tired, he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. A good community offers you a place of rest. They shouldn't be adding stress to your life. You ever meet somebody that they're just always stressed and so anxious and so worried, and it just starts to rub off on you? Maybe you're that person. Come on. Can you imagine if Aaron and Hur were bickering and complaining on their way up the mountain? Like, man, I wonder if Joshua got this. I wonder if Israel, I wonder if they trained enough. But the Bible says that when they saw Moses get tired, they offered him a place to sit. A good community offers you rest. They offer you peace in a time of chaos. They offer you love when you don't feel loved. Check this out. A good community, they help heal a heart that they did not break. Some of us have been sitting in the wrong communities for a while. And you're asking God, God, why am I always so stressed? Why am I always so anxious? Why am I always so tired? And I feel like the Holy Spirit is gonna ask you today, who are you hanging out with? Maybe you're alone. And maybe you need some people that have overcome that thing. Or maybe you're in the wrong community, because there is such thing as wrong communities. But you and I, we need a place of rest. I don't know about you, but life is tiring. It's hard. But it's even harder when you have people that are just adding to your stress and your anxiety and your worry. I need people like Aaron and Hur that can offer me a seat of rest. You need people in your life that they're ready for battle. They're focused. They're ready at any moment. And they're not bringing stress into your life. The last thing that I want to share with you as we wrap up, this is probably my favorite. A good community fights for you when you can't. Exodus 17, verse 12, the second section says, then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. A good community fights for you when you can't. See, the Rock Church, this is my community. It's where me and my family serve. It's where we give, it's where we grow. We're invested in this community. And if I can be real honest with you, the past month and a half have been really, really difficult for me and my family. We went through something pretty tragic. And I haven't always had the faith. I know it's weird to say, but I haven't always had the strength to pray. I haven't always been strong. I've even doubted sometimes. But there's this small community down in Chula Vista at the campus that I attend that came through for me in a moment where I couldn't do much. See, I'm so thankful that my friends Luis and Sammy, who are part of my discipleship group, they drove to my house at around 11 p.m. on a Wednesday night because I had reached the end of myself. And I just needed people to be real with. And so they pulled up and threw me in the car, and we just drove for hours. We laughed, we cried, we vented. I'm so thankful for that group of 15 people in Chula Vista that showed up to my house a week after tragedy hit. And they just loved on my family with tostilocos and afogados. Tostilocos are chips and afogados are ice cream with espresso. And they just loved on us. I'm thankful for my campus pastor down in Chula Vista who would take me out for TJ Taco runs at around midnight just to be with me in one of the darkest moments of my life. Sometimes hanging out with people is the most spiritual thing that you could do. Because we didn't read the Bible. We didn't really talk about Jesus. They didn't hit me with, this is what the Bible says and you got to do A, B, and C. We just hung out. And that has brought so much healing to my soul. I heard of these astonishing trees called the Sequoia redwood trees. And these are just phenomenal trees. They have the ability to grow up to 350 feet. They can last for centuries. But one of the interesting things that I found out about these trees is their root system. So their roots grow about 5 to 12 feet under, which is nothing compared to how much they grow above ground. But what the roots do is they intertwine with the roots of the other sequoia trees around them. And what these roots do is they feed off of each other. They get the nutrients they need. They intertwine, they get connected. And so that's really the reason why these trees can last so long. It's the reason why they can withstand any storm. It's the reason they can withstand any fire, any snowstorm, any wind. I wonder what would happen today, Rock Church, everybody watching us online, if as human beings, if we switched up our root system today, and rather than be humans that live in isolation, we allow our roots to intertwine with the humans around us. Can I encourage you to stay rooted? Can I encourage you to stay connected? Can I encourage you to stay planted? The biggest lie that you can hear today is that you don't need church. That's the biggest lie. Maybe some of you have been offended before and you've been church hurt. Stop blaming the church. Your people hurt. That's really what it is. I feel like when we say like, oh, the church hurt me, I feel like Jesus is like, I did not die for this. He's like, you guys figure it out. Because that's the truth. This organization didn't hurt you. People did. But it's people who hurt you, but it's also people that help heal you. I'd like to pray for you today. If you can just close your eyes and bow your heads. There's so much life that happens in community. And the fruit of a healthy community should always be fellowship. It should be generosity. It should be healing. It should be miracles. That's the fruit of it. But the root of a healthy community should always be Jesus. If you have never had a relationship with Jesus today, I promise you that this is the first person you want to live in community with. Because none of this matters if you don't live in community with Jesus. You see, Jesus can offer you what a church can't offer you. Jesus can offer you what people can't offer you. Jesus can offer you healing. He can offer you eternal life. He can offer you a brand new life. And I feel like there's people here today, people watching us online across all of our campuses, that you just need a brand new start. And I feel like Jesus is calling you in today. And so I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. And after this service, I want you to say yes to community. I'm not going to ask you to do anything crazy. I'm not going to ask you to stand or come up front. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. If you're here today and you've been feeling alone and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, I want you to raise your hand. If you can raise your hand, if that's you, and I just want to pray for you. I see you. I see you. If you put your hand up, I just want you to repeat this simple prayer after me. I want you to say, Jesus, I repent of my sin and I give you my life. Jesus, I repent of my sin and I give you my life. Lord, I thank you so much for showing up today and reminding us about just the life there is in community. Lord, I thank you because you're taking us from being isolated to being people that are planted and ready to grow. Lord, I just pray that the community here at Rock Church can never lose focus of why we do this. And that's not to grow necessarily in number, but it's to grow more in you. So I thank you for being near to the broken today. I thank you for salvation. And we thank you for your son. In Jesus' name.